Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are on episode 100 and let me see, I don't even remember, 191 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. Tonight is going to be a very, very special night. I have my new friend, Nicholas Bowling, with me. Nicholas, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Listen, bro, I've watched a bunch of your videos. I know a lot of people in the chat are loading in. They've watched your videos. And it's so cool to see you in a normal setting, sitting down. All my videos I've seen of you, you're street preaching. And dude, you are just so anointed, so on fire. How could I say this without being rude to other people? You're one of the few, I think, street preachers that really I just resonate with. Like you flow in the spirit, you're graceful, you're patient, you're kind. You're not out there with like a sign, you know, saying turn or burn. And so you're just bringing truth to the streets. I know you're also doing stuff in the church as well. So you're not just a street preacher. You're also a digital evangelist. You're a revivalist online. You're reaching literally hundreds of millions of people. And so super excited to have you on. I'm very excited to get into your testimony. Maybe hear some stuff that nobody really knows about you watching your videos. I know everybody's in the chat right now. They love your videos. They love your stuff. And so, hey man, thanks so much for being on tonight. It's going to be a great time. Before we go into some of your testimony, just for those of you that are logging in, please like the video. Please share the video. It helps us out a lot. What I want to do is I want to play a couple minutes of his street preaching because I want you guys, as we go into this testimony and I ask him questions and we do this interview, I want you guys to kind of know what we're talking about and just see his style. And man, he's just awesome. He's awesome. So we'll play a little bit of this. It's a long video. We're just going to play a couple minutes. So everybody check out the screen as you guys share and get in here. We're already almost at 1,000 viewers, which is amazing. So please, guys, share this and continue to share. I know all of you in the chat are spamming that you watch his videos. You've seen him on TikTok. I love that. Let's watch a little bit of this. Here we go.
Does God love me?
Yeah, God loves you.
Then that's all that matters.
Baby!
Well, listen. Listen, if your parents love you, but you make a decision to go do something illegal and you get thrown in jail, it doesn't matter if they love you or not, you're still in jail. So if God loves you, but you do something that separates you eternally from him, it doesn't matter that he loved you because you chose to do something that eternally separated for you from him. So yes, God loves you, but just because you're loved by God doesn't mean you're going to heaven.
But your shoes are...
I'd like to exercise my right to ask you to leave.
I hear that request.
And even like you're not willing to acknowledge the request.
No, I'm acknowledging it, but I'm just not willingly submitting to it. You know, if you want to get the police to come...
Hallelujah. They're right across the street.
Okay.
I'll have them come over.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you got all that right.
Yeah, part of it's like humorous.
Just stay close.
But then the other part is like sad at the same time.
You heard of Jesus before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah? Do you believe in Jesus or?
Absolutely not.
No?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we're going to be able to force you to leave where you are in a public park and you can record, but I told him I would do my due diligence and at least ask. So.
Well, sir, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Is there any way I could pray for you?
Let's just refrain from everything right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, God bless you, sir.
Jesus is the one who can bring true freedom into your life. Not just freedom in your nation, but freedom from sin. But freedom from sin.
She just faked falling over. Look, he's smiling. He knows it.
You just know she faked it.
That dude's laughing.
You're picking the wrong fight, bro.
Huh? No. It's not a fight. It's love.
It doesn't matter how much good we think we've done, but the punishment of sin is actually dead. God's not real. Why isn't he real?
God is real.
God is real. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That's what I was doing, God.
Yes, he did.
That whoever would believe in him,
I think she may have been drunk,
would not perish but will have everlasting life. It's not a fun place to be. It's not religion. It's about Jesus. And Jesus is the most proven man in history. Did we ever see Jesus going to the bars and getting drunk? We did? Where was that at? I must have missed that book. You're either going to be with God or you're going to be away from God. But God desires you God desires for you to be with him. And the Bible says this, that whoever would confess it's your eternity, it should matter to you. I had anxiety. I had depression. I had suicidal thoughts. I had a lot of bitterness. I had a lot of hate. I had a lot of rage towards people because of people who had wronged me, because of girls who screwed me over. On the outside, it looked like everything was going good. I joined the military. I was in college. I was going to be a financial planner, make six figures, probably five. I'm not taking that.
You have anxiety here.
Oh, Jesus took it away. I said I had anxiety. So here's what happened. I started reading the Bible, right? I started reading the Bible, and the things that were Bible started to become real in my own life. So when Jesus, when I turned to him and I gave my life to him and said, Jesus, be my king, the anxiety left. The depression left. I no longer needed the alcohol to get drunk five times a week to wash away my worries.
But Jesus came to save them that were lost.
All right, so that was a little bit of his preaching. He has a lot of videos on his channel you guys can watch after. I've linked it down below. But this is the man. This is the man from the video. Just, man, I cannot stop smiling watching that. You're just standing in the midst of darkness. You're proclaiming the gospel in this generation. You're definitely one of those. I feel like the Lord spoke years ago that he's raising up revivalist end time people in these last days. And bro, you're that. So anyway, thank you so much for being on, bro. I would love to have maybe just start with your testimony, your upbringing. And then we'll talk about how you got to street preaching and all of that. But maybe just feel free to share some of your testimony.
Yeah, well, it's great to be on here. It's great to be joining you guys out there on YouTube and Facebook. Many of you who follow me, you've probably heard my testimony before. But for those of you who haven't, I grew up, had a split family, and both sides of my family were like full out Catholics. On my dad's side of the family, lots of priests, lots of nuns, like a couple of my great uncles, priests, a couple of my great aunts, nuns in the Catholic Church. And that's how I grew up. I grew up going to CCD, doing all the stuff that Catholics do, got confirmed, you know, sprinkle the water when you're a baby. And I was in school, started playing sports, and got in a popular crowd because of sports and girls and all that stuff. So I ended up going to more of what we would call like a spirit-filled church.
Okay.
A place where the presence of God is manifested, where you really, I guess, dive deep in the Word of God. But anyways, I started to kind of more of transition from knowing about God in Catholicism to really starting to experience him a little bit. Even as a kid, I remember going to kids' church, and someone gave me a Bible. I started reading the Bible a little bit, started to pray, memorized my first verse. But once I hit probably sixth grade, really fifth grade, I started hanging out with kind of the wrong crowd, drank my first beer, smoked my first cigarette in fifth grade at one of my friend's house. We stole it from his refrigerator and from his parents. So anyway, that was kind of the shift of really going into all that. People started, you know, seventh grade was when people started messing around with one another when it comes to sexually type stuff. Eighth grade, freshman year. When I was a freshman in high school, I had an older sister who was a senior, and she was really pretty. So all the guys were really nice to me because they wanted to get in good with her. So anyway, so I started partying with some of the seniors as a freshman. Started drinking, partied throughout high school, ended up, you know, relationships with girls, sleeping around, all that stuff. Graduated high school. I was really rebellious even throughout high school. I was going to church. I was going to Catholic church with my mom. I was going to more of what we call a Pentecostal church with my dad. And I knew how to put on the Christianese talk, you know, the smiling face. And everyone thought I was such a good kid. And even parents at my church were like wanted their kids to hang out with me because they thought I was such a good influence. And then when kids hung out with me, it was not good influence. I really corrupted people, and I was really good at peer pressuring. Just to be honest with you, I had a bunch of younger cousins and friends, so I was really manipulative and really peer pressured people into what I thought was having fun. you know, innocent fun. So anyways, I was kind of the instigator and the one who was leading the charge on doing a lot of evil things. I hadn't really gotten to drugs in high school, but once I graduated high school, I really got in with some people who were on drugs and stuff. Got a fake ID, started going to bars and things like that at the age of 18. Going to some like old crazy country bars where like it's just crazy stuff happens. Bouncers will like throw people on cars if you get caught sneaking over the fence because you didn't want to pay $5 to get in. People like, you know, stabbing each other. It sounds like the ghetto, but on the country side of things. So anyways, I don't know. Is there a name for that? Country ghetto people? Anywho. So got into that, started taking drugs, started smoking weed. We started taking stuff like mushrooms, going to raves, ended up doing cocaine at one point. And I joined the military in the midst of some of this because I wanted to get away from school. I wanted to get away from home and go away to universities like some of my friends did. So ended up going to the Air Force so I could get my college paid for. Came back from basic training and my technical school that I did, ended up going to Western Kentucky University. Got down there, a bunch of my friends were already in a fraternity, and we lived in a party house with six dudes. It was this big white house. We called it the White House, and we were the party house for the fraternity. So literally every weekend, even on weekends where we were like partied out, we didn't want to party. Everyone was pressuring us like, dude, you got to throw a party. Like you have the party house. You got to throw a party. So we were constantly the ones throwing parties, going to the bars. Like I said, I had a fake ID. So even before I was 21, you know, we were partying at our place, going to the bars, and then we'd come back and after party, you know, at our house. So that wasn't enough for me. So I ended up joining a fraternity of myself, a more well-known or popular fraternity on campus, which gave me more access to girls, drugs, alcohol, a more wealthy style of partying, I guess you could say. So went down that road. In the midst of all this, you know, I'm doing those drugs and I'm getting drunk. I was probably getting drunk, especially in the summertime, at least 5 times a week.
Wow.
And ended up, actually, when I was backing up to a sophomore in high school, I got arrested and got a public intoxication on my record as a sophomore in high school. So fast forward, now I'm in college. You can imagine going through relationships. I had some unfaithful relationships, some revenge, kind of getting back at each other. Was really heartbroken when it came to girls, which I was the same way. I probably broke a lot of hearts as well. So had a lot of hatred, bitterness, a lot of that stuff in my heart. And I ended up going through a relationship that ended pretty badly. There were some friends who backstabbed me in the midst of what was going on. And I got really drunk one night up in Lexington, ended up doing some stupid things and ended up getting charged, being charged with a felony.
Wow.
I didn't get charged. I was facing the charge of a felony. So I had to fight that in court for about a year. My own lawyer tried to screw me out of like $2,000 in the midst of all this stuff. So anyway, I ended up getting off with a misdemeanor. I didn't get a felony charge. But I went through a bad breakup, got stabbed in the back with a friend in the midst of that, was facing a felony charge. And my dad, who was actually a great influence in my life, he was the one who was always kind of trying to pull me back to God. You know, he was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was constantly, he knew the road that I was on, and he was constantly trying to talk to me about coming back to the Lord and all this stuff. And I had pretty much pushed him out of my life to an extent. Didn't really answer phone calls of anyone who was going to bring conviction or make me feel guilty for the lifestyle I was living. Pretty much shoved them all out of my life. So anyways, I got a phone call that he was being rushed to the ER. He was getting his blood drawn or something and ended up like blacking out. They thought he was having like a seizure. And they rushed him to the ER and they didn't know what was happening. So I got that phone call right in the midst of facing a felony charge, going through a terrible breakup with some backstabbing going on. And on top of all the anxiety, depression, and things that I'd already had because of, you know, alcohol being a depressant, smoking weed on a constant basis, everything else that's going on, the weight and the anxiety of college, you know, of finals and everything else, being in the military, just all that weight, man, came crashing down on me. And I hit rock bottom. I remember taking a shower one night, and I just broke. I just started crying, and I wasn't one to cry. I thought it was weak. Like men don't cry, you know? So I just broke down, like weeping in the shower, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't handle it anymore. And I had some suicidal thoughts up to that point. I can't say that I would have acted on them. I don't know, but I definitely had some suicidal thoughts coming to my mind. So while I was kind of breaking down in the shower, I had this inner thought that was like, go to church.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, go to church. And looking back, that was the only way that I knew how to draw near to God, to be honest with you. So really, that was God speaking to me and saying, come to me, draw near to me. But the only thing I knew was go to church. So that's what I did, man. I started going to church, started looking around for different churches. And honestly, I maybe went to church once every, you know, I don't know, 2 months. But it was hope. I started reading my Bible at night times. I started praying a little bit, mainly because I didn't want to have nightmares. I had nightmares and stuff like that as well in the midst of all this. So ended up finding, or no, what had happened? I'll try to make this, shorten this up a little bit here towards the end.
This is good.
So I get a phone call from my dad. We find out, you know, everything's okay. Something had gone wrong, but anyway, he didn't have like any major illnesses. He wasn't going to die or anything. So he ends up calling me and says, hey, I was leading worship at some like gathering or something where other worship leaders were at, in a place in Kentucky, and he had ran into a worship leader who lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is where I was at Western Kentucky University. And he said, I told him that you used to play bass when you were a kid in church. Because I grew up in the Spirit-filled church that I was going to. I started playing bass as a young teenager. But anyways, I hadn't played in years and years. And my dad said, I told him that you would come on Sunday and meet him. Wow. And I was like, what? I was mad, man. I was like, I don't want to go. Like, I don't really want to go to church. Second off, I don't want to go meet some guy I don't know. And I definitely don't want to play bass in a worship band. You know, even though I was starting to draw near to God, I didn't have like a radical overnight stop everything. I was still drinking. I was still partying. I was still doing all those things. But I had honestly made like a shift in my heart. Like, I really don't want to do this stuff. Like I want to change. I want to get back near to God, but I was so deep in the midst of what Trump might call the swamp. I was so deep in the midst of that. And so I go to church and meet this guy right after service, and he's basically like, when can you start? So I'm like, wow. What? When can I start? He's like, what about Wednesday? And I'm like, I guess so. You know, so the next Wednesday, I'm like up there playing bass on the platform, which it's like, you know, us now. I mean, my wife leads worship. I lead worship some. It's like to take a kid who's in college, getting drunk and high and doing all these sins. Like, you know, if people knew that at the time, people would have left the church, you know, stuff like that. But God, man, God knew what he was doing. I'm not recommending that. It almost sounds like the Jesus movement, honestly, like all the hippies who just started like singing songs to God and worshiping God and stuff, you know? Anywho, I'm not condoning it, but God did it for me. Okay. So moving forward in that, I had a commitment. I had accountability. I had to go to church because I was on the worship team, right? So started going to church and started encountering God. And in the midst, I started to pull out more and more from really the darkness, going to church, seeking God, started reading my Bible more, started praying more, started doing those things, really trying to draw near to God, not just the religious repetitions, you know, that I grew up with, but really trying to get near to him with a humble heart, but still getting sucked into the peer pressure. I'm still living in a house with parties going on every weekend, whether I want it to happen or not. So I'm just right in the midst of all of it. And I started encountering God, you know, in a supernatural, tangible kind of way.
Come on.
It wasn't just someone talking about God, but literally he was revealing himself to me. His presence, and, you know, the Bible talks about the manifestations of the Spirit. He was revealing himself to me, his peace, his love, even the fruits of the Spirit were becoming real to me in a tangible way. And it didn't compare at all to, or the alcohol and the drugs and all those things, they didn't compare in any way to what I was experiencing when I was at church, or even it began to grow out of just going to church and encountering God. But it began, you know, even in my bedroom when I'm spending time with the Lord, or riding in the car, you know, I'm starting to listen to worship songs, and boom, you know, now God's revealing himself to me here. So it was like I started to lose my appetite and my taste for all those things that I was using, really, to probably escape a lot of the brokenness and things that were happening through my life because of sin, but because of, you know, just the world and all those things. So I had this one night. It was a Tuesday night, and I had been in a fraternity, and we have what's called Big Brother Night. If you guys have ever been in Greek life, you know what that is. But my big brother bought a fifth of whiskey. We went to a party house, and I'm supposed to drink the fifth of whiskey during the night, and it was just us guys. We had strippers come over. We were smoking weed, so I was hammered, high, and someone ended up pitching up an extra $500 for the strippers. And we'll keep it clean, but it was basically stuff you'd only see on the internet. So saw that while I was drunk and high Tuesday night. The next day is a Wednesday. I end up heading, waking up that morning hungover, just feeling so guilty, man. Because at this point, I was starting to pull out of partying, and I really didn't want to party, and I was partying way, way less. But it was like Big Brother night, which is supposed to be like this special, you know, time. So I was like, okay, fine, you know, I'll come out. And then I get sucked into all this. And honestly, man, that's what I saw. The more that I pulled out, the more that I went back in, even maybe once every 3 months, you talk about demons waiting and the devil just waiting for you. And it was like temptations on steroids, man. Just really, really the devil working hard to try to grab you and keep you bound, you know? So anyway, so that happened on a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I wake up feeling super guilty. We have church that night, and there was a prophet there. Up to this point, I was skeptical about prophets and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about them. You know, I thought it was all make-believe stuff. So he preaches. He calls an altar call at the end of service. Everyone's going up to get prayed for. So I go forward because I'm feeling terrible and guilty and ashamed. And he's starting to go down this line. You know, he's got a prayer line up there. He's starting to go down, and he's praying on the mic. And I can hear him prophesying over people and praying for people. And he's saying all these encouraging things. You know, God's got an amazing plan for your life. So I'm starting to feel a little comfort. You know, I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be too bad. You know, so he gets to me, and he went to talk, and then he stopped. He didn't say anything for a second. And then he sighed, and he said, I'm just going to say it. He put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, you've seen some things very recently that you should have never seen. And that was like the devil tying a rope around your neck. But I'm here to tell you that God is setting you free tonight. But you need to be very careful that you never see those things again, because sometimes the devil will double knot the rope the second time, and it's harder to get free. And then he just moved on to the next person. So here I am standing there. I know what I just saw literally the night before. This is a guy I've never met. He wasn't a prophet just at our church. He was, you know, a prophet that travels the world that came in as a guest speaker. And in that moment, I had such a peace, but such a fear at the same time, because I knew God had set me free. I knew that he was real. I could never doubt again. Before that moment, I believed God was real. In a sense, like I would tell people I'm a Christian. I would tell people, yeah, God's real. But I always had this doubt in the back of my mind. What if this is just like Santa Claus? You know, I wholeheartedly as a kid believed in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. And then one day I find out, wait a second, what? They're not real? Which I think is a scheme of the devil to even cause doubt and unbelief and things like that. We won't go there. But I was thinking, what if I've thought God's real my whole life, but someday I find out he's really not? I've had that happen to me before. From that moment when he prophesied that over me, I could never doubt again. I knew 100% God is real.
Come on.
He knows me. He knows what I did last night. And he cares for me to the extent that he just set me free. Like, I could have just been scolded and cast out and told, don't ever come back here again. You're going to die. You know, I could have been boom, doomed, condemned right there. But God chose to reveal some things that happened to me. It's almost like the woman at the well. Jesus revealed to her that she had five husbands. The guy she's living with now is not her husband. But he didn't leave her in that place of just shame and guilt. He revealed, hey, look, I know you're junk. But now he's revealing to her, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who came to save you, the one who came to rescue you, the Christ, right? And she's not left in this down place, but now she's excited, joyful, and she runs back into the city to tell everybody else. And I really feel like that's what God has done with my life, is that right there. He pointed out, you know, all my junk, he pointed out all that stuff. But in the midst of that, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the one who came to save you, to set you free, and left me in a place full of the fear of the Lord, not to go back into those things, but also such a peace, man, that you can't get literally anywhere else. So from that night, that really began a huge leap for me, Christianity and drawing near to God. I wish I could tell you from that night, I never drank again. I never did drugs again. I love those testimonies. But for me, honestly, it was a process of pulling out of those things. I pray that it doesn't have to be that way for people. But it was a process, but the Lord was working on me, transforming me, and then got me to the point where literally I was completely separate from that stuff. Right. And, you know, now that stuff's, you know, 10 years ago, at this point, 10 to 11 years ago at this point, that it was like, you know, cut off, maybe a few years with some of the things that I was dealing with, For me, the last thing that I overcame, in that way from my past was let's just be real, it was porn and masturbation. For me, that was a big stronghold in my life. And honestly, it was deliverance. I had I don't know your thoughts on this, Isaiah, but I had an encounter with the Lord, just me in my living room. I had some worship music on. Honestly, I'd been reading a book about deliverance. I had taken a trip out to, I don't have to drop names. I had taken a trip out to a place in a different state. Isaiah, you know, once you start dropping names and places and churches, people stereotype, bro. People stereotype and they'll like attach you to those places. So anyway. Mm-hmm. We took a spring break trip in college. I ended up joining as I'm pulling out of all this stuff and encountering God and really getting close to him after I had this prophetic encounter. I joined a college campus and we took a spring break trip. I used to go to the beach and get drunk and all that stuff. But this semester, I took a spring break trip out to, it's called Spring Break Fuel School. I just gave it away if you've ever heard of that. But I got this book on deliverance, got back home and started reading it. And honestly, while I was reading it, I had those urges and temptations really rise up, and the demons, I would enter into sin and stuff while I was reading the book.
Wow. I put the book down chance, and if you don't mind me asking,
I can't remember, to be honest with you.
Okay. Was it like, I can't even remember like that, like a classic deliverance book?
No, it wasn't that. It was this guy out at this church. Let's just say it. It was IHOP KC.
Okay, okay.
IHOP in Kansas City, which I know there's a lot of controversy around that right now. Anywho, it was out there, and it was a guy who was head of deliverance there. He wrote a book.
Okay, okay.
So I'm reading it, and I would put the book down, and the demons that had me bound, they would drive me into sin. I would go and sin or whatever. But anyway, at some point of reading that book, I can't even say I got the revelation of self-deliverance or anything like that, but I started worshiping one day, sitting in my living room, my roommates at class in college, and I'm just deep in worship in my living room. I almost dropped the name again. Let's just stop with the names and the worship bands and all that stuff. And the presence of God just got so thick and tangible, and I just started to shake, man. It started with my hands. And my whole body just started shaking on the couch. My head, everything is just shaking. I had no idea what was happening, to be honest with you. I didn't know deliverance was taking place. I'm just in there in the presence of God, start shaking like crazy. And I felt like, I just felt like breathing out and saying, out with anything that's not of you, God.
Come on.
And breathing in and saying, in with you, like in with you, God. And I was doing that. I'm not making a doctrine out of this, a theology or anything like that. That's just what happened to me. And eventually the shaking stopped. And now that I look back, I had no clue what happened. I just thought I had an encounter with God. Now that I look back, I know that I was literally getting set free. God was setting me free from demons who had me bound. And it was mainly like sexual sin, that kind of stuff. So God ended up delivering me from that. And, you know, he's had me on this journey now where, kind of like the woman at the well, you know, go tell everybody about Jesus and then bring them to him, right? Bring them to him to encounter him. It said that they had faith because she came and preached. They believed.
Wow.
But then when they came back and were speaking to the Lord, it says again, like now they believed for themselves because they had encountered him. So I feel like even for us, you know, as believers, our calling is to go and preach the gospel, and people can believe through that, just us planting the seed, right? But the purpose of that, even us preaching, is for them to then come to him themselves, and then he's going to grow their faith, and then they're going to believe, not just because they heard our testimony. They're not going to believe just because we preached the gospel, but now they're going to believe because I have encountered him myself. Their faith is going to be so much stronger, and then it's going to reproduce itself. You know, when you encounter him, you can't help but, hey, let's go tell somebody else. I got to go tell my friends, my loved ones, everyone else.
That's so good. Hearing your testimony, I mean, for all of you parents that are in the chat right now, there's a lot of you watching, do not lose hope. I mean, this guy's testimony of the partying, the drinking, the drugs, I had a similar testimony without some of the drugs and stuff like that. But my parents praying for me and believing God, I mean, I bet your parents never in a million years while you're in the midst of all of that would think, now look at you now, that the Lord is going to use you to preach the gospel, to be out there street preaching in the midst of complete darkness, in the midst of hostility, you're out preaching the gospel. And it reminds me of what Paul said, and I think it's like 1 Corinthians, where he talks about how you're a liar, you were cheaters, you were drunkards, you were this. And he's talking about like the world is that. And he says, and some of you were that, as some of you were, but now you've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And you look back and as you're sharing your story, I can't even understand how you can be an atheist and listen to that and not believe in God, right? It's just the beautiful thing of God taking the drug addict, God taking the prostitute, God taking the woman at the well, God taking the person strung out right now. Some of you watching this broadcast right now, you are Nicholas a decade ago. You're watching this video, and I really feel the Holy Spirit on this. You're in and out of sin, you're partying, you're drinking, you know you're called, and I just want to speak to some of you. You know you're called. You know God has chosen you. You go to church for a few months, then you go back to partying. Then you go to church for a few months, then you go back to partying. Like, let tonight be a warning to you that it's time to go all in with God. It's time to say, Lord, I'm done going back to the partying. I honestly believe some of you can get delivered tonight. Some of you that are battling shame and lust and perversion, I believe you can get delivered tonight. I was at a place when I got saved, I was so desperate. I'm like, somebody pray for me. I want to be free from this. And there's some of you tonight that you were raised in church, like Nicholas and like me, but you weren't raised in Christ. You've never had that life-changing, born-again experience with God where you go from death to life and you become a new person in Christ. And there has to come a point tonight, chat, where you say, Lord, I want to go all in with you. And that's so strong when you're talking about that, Nicholas, how you are lost and broken and partying and in fraternities and drinking and all of these things. And then now we just watched a video 20 minutes ago of you preaching at these, you know, big pride festivals, and you're preaching at the most hostile places possible. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, God, only you can take a guy a decade ago that was partying, you know, seriously, in a room full of strippers, to now you're proclaiming the gospel. And I want to ask you this, when it comes to street preaching, do you think that because you had that party lifestyle, because you were a drinker and a partier and you were cussing and all of that, do you think that's helped you sympathize now with street preaching and with sharing with people and loving people? Because you're like, hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. You know, it's like, I think there's a lot of Christians that we are so judgmental towards the world. Now, let me be clear on something. The Bible says to judge those in the church. Paul said, we don't judge the world because the world's always going to sin. And you'd have to escape the world if you wanted to get away from sinners. But he said, but surely we judge those inside the church. So we could judge the world all day. If you want to judge people in the world, you could sit all day. They're unsaved. They're blind. But Paul says, we do judge those inside the church. I think a lot of Christians, we've gotten this wrong. We don't want to judge anybody in the church, but we want to judge the world. And for me, I'm like, I sympathize with hurting broken people because I remember what it's like to wake up in my own vomit. I remember waking up and I'm just in my own vomit and I'm smelling and I'm nasty. And I don't remember what happened the night before. And I was at this person's house and that girl's house and that girl's house. And I remember that so vividly. And I think a lot of us as Christians, we've lost compassion. We've lost sympathy for the lost because, you know, we don't remember what it was like to be that. But don't forget, guys, where God brought you out of. Have sympathy, have compassion. Jesus, the Bible says, was moved with compassion. That is why he cast out demons. That is why he healed the sick. That is why he spent all night long praying for people. Because he was moved with compassion. What I see in your ministry is, and I don't want to bash anybody or throw anyone in the bus because I commend everybody out there doing the work. But unlike some, let's just say some, not all, street preachers, you have so much compassion. Like I just, as you speak and share, do you feel like that came from because you can relate to what these, like when you're at a college campus, right? And we saw earlier, those people are all drunk that you're talking to. Do you feel like, man, I could relate. I remember being like that. Does that help you when you're sharing on the streets?
Yeah. It definitely does. Knowing what it's like you said, you know, I can remember those low points in my life, just the brokenness. But man, even more than being in that place and really being able to sympathize, that definitely helps. But it's having been there and then being with him. And now being in this place where I'm on my face before him in his presence, and he's removed every worry I could ever have. And it seems like nothing in the world matters.
Come on.
Like, I don't want to leave this moment. I never want to leave here with you. I don't care what's going on. I don't care anything. It's just like, there's no worries. It's complete peace, a love that I've never experienced before. It's beyond anything you could ever experience in this world, beyond any pleasure you could have in this world. Being with him in his presence, and then thinking about where I was and thinking about those people, they have no idea that you can experience him. Not just experience him, but they have no idea how good he is. They have no idea how loving he is. They have no idea how gentle and patient and his tender mercies and his loving kindness and his mercy that endures forever, to the extent that he'll wash it all away, choose to forget the sin. It won't even remember it. We don't have to come before him like dogs with the tail between our legs. We can come before him boldly and climb up in his lap and lay with him. And as John the Beloved rest his head upon Jesus's chest, we can do that with the Lord in the Spirit. If you can understand what I'm saying right now, but we can be with him and know him, not just head knowledge from the Scripture, but the Scripture coming alive with mixing with the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Word and the Spirit coming together, and enter into this place of just this love, this agape that can't be explained with any really worldly types of comparisons or anything. So from being in the secret place and being with him, man, and just him washing over us, even on a daily basis, you know, that the Bible says husbands, you know, it talks about washing over, something about washing with the water of the word, like over your wife, right? But in the same way, the Lord does that for us. And it can be even a daily basis of just like coming into his presence in the secret place. It's like, oh man, like every day, it's almost like a refreshing, like, wow, you know, I almost forgot from yesterday how amazing this is. You know, it's almost like the angels in heaven, it says that they cry out. 24 elders, the four living creatures, holy, 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 you know? So if they're saying it like that, it says they don't cease. They continue to say that night and day, right? They're just standing there praising him. It's like that when we come before him in that place, even in the secret place. Now we can, right, experience him everywhere else, even the corporate gathering. But even in the secret place, when we come before him every time, it's like, wow, like this is like, it's fresh. It's like new. And to be in that place And then to come out in the world and see people who are living how I was living, to see people who are standing outside their car, outside of a restaurant. You know, I went to go pick up food recently, and I saw a couple standing outside their cars, freezing outside in the wintertime, standing outside their car. You can see their breath, and they're standing there arguing, like in their 20s, late 20s, a couple. And I'm like, dude, I remember doing that. I remember standing arguing with girls with jealousy issues and all this stuff constantly. I remember that. I know how miserable that is. You know, I see people who are getting drunk. I see my young relatives at family gatherings, and, you know, they're going away to drink some moonshine or stuff like that. I'm like, man, I used to do that. I know the fruit of that. I know how empty that is. I know that lifestyle. And now that I know him, they have no clue. I had no clue, you know, who God really was. The world and the devil try to give us these stereotypes of Christianity's all bigotry and hatred, and oh man, the devil will fill the world with such lies. But if we truly know him and we know the state they're in because we were there once, like kind of like you said, why am I going to judge them like one of the Pharisees, you know? And then I'm going to be condemned as well. But that's just so pointless. It's like just so out of our mind. Like, when you really get in that place with him, that stuff's not even up in your head. I would say if that judgmental, critical mindset of judging the world is there, you're not feeding yourself on the word of God. You're stuck in carnality. You're stuck in a fleshly mind. You're stuck, you're a baby. You're thinking like a baby in Christ. But if you're really with him, really feeding upon his word, you know, Jesus said, I don't eat bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
So good.
So when you're in that place, it's like, it is just compassion. I have such compassion with these people, and that's where the patience comes from. I mean, it's the secret place, knowing the heart of the Father and then being like David, men after his own heart, women after his own heart. And then going out there, and from the Father's perspective, we're now looking at these people, and then you can look like Jesus. You mentioned it earlier. He looked out on the crowds with compassion, like they were sheep without a shepherd. You know, now the world becomes that, and we're not so hung up on ourselves. We're afraid of the mean mug. We're afraid of someone not liking us. We're afraid of someone talking about us behind our back. We're afraid of our family distancing themselves, calling us Jesus freaks, whatever it is. So self-centered and selfish and self-focused, let's just call it what it really is. I realize some people are growing in the faith and stuff like that, but anyways, we got to get set free from that self-centeredness and get out there and love people, deny ourselves, take up our cross. It's not about us. Yeah, they're going to scream at us. Yeah, Jesus said it. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Like, they're going to persecute you. It's going to happen. It's not something that is catching us off guard, but we can expect it. They did it to Jesus because why? They didn't know, right?
Good.
But we got to go out there and love on them.
I want to ask you some stuff about street preaching. So when did you start street preaching? Did you feel like a certain calling? What made you go out and do your first, I don't even know, street preaching session, sermon, service? I don't even know what to call it, where you decided like, I'm going to go out, and I want to know where was your first time, because I want to ask you some practical stuff about street preaching. I'm very interested. I've never done like street preaching. I definitely feel called to waking up the church. It's been my assignment in the United States. The Lord told me a decade ago, like, preach, wake up the churches. So I do obviously online in church, but I would love to go. You're the only one I want to do it with, because I'm like, I like the way that you do it. I would love to go do like a street preaching thing with you. Where did you get started? What year? How old? Like, I want to know the details. And then I want to know some other stuff, but when did you get started with the whole street preaching ministry that we see? I know it's not your only ministry, and I want to be clear on that. I know you do other stuff in the church, and you minister in worship, and you do a lot of other things, so I don't want to just make you the street preacher, but of course, when it comes to going viral, you guys have now hundreds of millions of views on your channel for the street preaching clips. How did that even get started?
Yeah, well, pick up on my testimony, you know, encountering God, all that stuff. Someone at church shared with me this guy, right? We're not name dropping. So shared me this guy who has a YouTube channel who goes out, and it's mainly just personal evangelism. He's going out, he's praying for people. People are getting healed. He's giving words of knowledge, stuff like that. Maybe you can guess who it is. But I started watching them, and I was so intrigued, man. It just set me on fire, because it gave me an example to look at of hey, this looks like Jesus in the scriptures. You know, I saw Jesus in the Bible, but then I was trying to correlate it to today, and I didn't have anyone setting that example for me. You know, yeah, we all go to church. Yeah, there's good preaching and worship and all this stuff, but, you know, who's actually doing this thing like Jesus walking out in the public, you know, in the public square, wherever he's at? So it gave me an example, and I was like, man, like, the Holy Spirit let me know that's Jesus, right? Like, Jesus living in him. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So in the same way, it gave me a sight on it, and I began wanting to do it. My desire was there. So I started to, a little bit, just to go out. Maybe I was at the mall or going out in public or this or that. I started going with someone from our church. It wasn't going well. We had an evangelist come in town, so I went out with his team. They were going out and witnessing and flyering and doing all this stuff. So I went out with them, and I kind of stood like a fly on the wall. Really, I didn't say anything to anyone at first, and I was just watching him. But just being there in those shoes of standing in front of someone while Jesus is being conversed about, seeing their reaction, if they're accepting, if they're rejecting, it really helped me in building boldness. So eventually, you know, he would let me, okay, hey, why don't you pray for him? Boom, I start praying for him a little bit, and it's starting to build up my boldness. Then I ended up going, probably a few months later, ended up going with an evangelistic team down in Florida, where for 2 weeks we went out, witnessed to people. That was the first time. We were at a bus station, and we would walk up on these buses, ask the bus driver, hey, can I pray for the people? And they'd say yes or no. And if they said yes, we'd go up, and we'd say like a quick 1 minute gospel message, then pray with them. And if people wanted to give their life to the Lord, they would give their life to the Lord. We're at a bus station, you know, you don't have 5-10 minutes to preach the gospel or go pray for everybody. It's like a, you know, a minute and a half, and you got to get out of there. So we started doing that, and he was like, okay, you do this one. So that was the first time I ever stood in front of multiple people. You know, there's probably like 8 people on this bus, and I'm just like going for it, preaching the gospel in a minute and then giving a quick prayer if anyone wants to get saved. So when I came back from that trip, that was a huge leap for me. And I went out to go on my own, to be honest with you. The first time I went to the mall to preach the gospel on my own, because no one else could go with me, I walked around for 2 hours and didn't talk to anyone, not one person.
And you were just going to do one-on-one evangelism with people.
Yeah. I was just going to walk around in the mall and talk to people about Jesus. And I couldn't muster up the courage to talk to one person. So I got in the car, left, went back to my apartment, kicking myself in the butt. You know, like, I'm not letting this happen again, all this stuff. So anyway, so next time I went out, you know, I forced myself, you know, to start talking to someone. And it was a progression for me. So as I got more comfortable with that, honestly, I came across a YouTuber who was going out with a speaker. And up to that point, kind of like you talked about, there's a lot of the signs and the highlighter shirts and the, you know, repent or perish type thing, which is right, that Jesus said it, repent or perish. But there's a heart that we can have in speaking the truth. There's a condemnation, a standoffish kind of a judgment, like we're over here and you're over there and you need to repent and come to our side. There's like that. And then there's like this, I'm going to come to you and speak the truth in love on you, be an ambassador for the kingdom, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you. And then I'm going to help you. Right.
Good.
So I saw this guy on YouTube who wasn't like that. Yes, I actually saw a video of him casting out demons. So I was like, whoa, wait a second. This dude's street preaching and he's full of the Holy Ghost. You know, the other dudes just seem religious and throwing Bible at you. So that got my attention. So I started watching this guy and the Lord was just encouraging me, building me up in faith. And I was like, hey, man, this looks super simple. Like, why can't I do this? So I ended up going out, bought a speaker and just went down to my downtown square, popped the thing up in the middle of the day and just went for it. Preaching. So then for a time, honestly, dude, it was like, there's like an addiction habit, right? Which the devil can get a hold of and it can get really, really bad. But when we get addicted to him, to Jesus, and we're all in for him, you know, count everything else as loss, as Paul said, and we're all in for him, it's like glorious. So I was like addicted to, all right, God, you know, and I just heard God in the secret place tell me, I've called you to preach the gospel. I've called you to preach the gospel. I've called you to preach the gospel, you know, all this stuff. So all of that, and just the pleasure that comes from really stepping out and doing his will, yes. You know, God will tangibly reveal that I'm pleased with you. You know, you're doing my will. The Bible calls his will his good pleasure. Mm. So it's like his will is his good pleasure. So when we do his will, we're doing what pleases him, right? So anyway, he'll reveal to us, man, I'm pleased with you. You're doing my will. So man, it became addicting. And then I was going out every day, bro. I'd just go down and pop up. It didn't matter how many people were there. People were just passing by, walking, this and that. I just pop up and just go for it, man, preaching the gospel every day. And then started going to some different events and things like that. And, you know, that goes on for a few years. I end up popping up my, you know, my camera on a little tripod. And then I needed my phone to look up some scriptures. So I'm like, oh, I can't do this. So then I bought a little camera so I can have my phone. And then that just grew, and it's just been this journey ever since of now the Lord, you know, starting to send us to places and different events, and then starting to equip the church. You know, we've been to Mexico, India, Kenya, been to some churches and stuff like that for equipping. And I'm over outreach at the church that I'm at right now. Still involved there. So every Thursday night, doing like an equipping, a training, and then we go out and just do like personal evangelism stuff, which that's really where my heart is. I can't say everyone is called to go out and get a speaker and preach openly. You know, there are definitely people who are called to do that. I can't say that's everyone's calling, but what everyone is called to is personal evangelism, which is just, man, talking to people in your own sphere of influence, people at work, people, your neighbors, you know, people at the grocery store, wherever you're at, you know, Jesus is inside of us. The Holy Spirit's on us to be witnesses. He said, you'll be endued with power to be my witnesses.
Good.
That's every Christian. We all have the Holy Ghost, right? So we are witnesses. So that's really where my heart is equipping the saints to go out everywhere they are and just represent Jesus. Talk to people about him. Allow him to reveal himself through them. Love on people, right? And preach the truth.
That's good. Now, what are your thoughts when you're in these environments? I think you just said you've gone to like these pride events and pride festivals. You have a bunch of videos on your channel. And there's videos I've seen of you where you have like three or four people that I guess identify, I don't even know what to say, as drag queens, and they're screaming in your face. And I'll just be honest, to me, I'm like, a lot of these people, I mean, clearly they're manifesting demons, their faces contorting, they're making weird voices, they're just doing weird things. And the demons are mad. They're mad that you're there in their territory proclaiming the light of Christ. So of course, there's a spiritual component and battle going on. But what is going on in your head when people are in your face, they're knocking over your speaker, they're throwing water on you, they're screaming at the top of their lungs? Like, do you have safety concerns? Do you have security with you? In a practical sense, like, what is going on in your head? It seems like it's not affecting you, but you're human, I'm human. Like, is there ever times where you're just like afraid, or you're thinking like, man, what am I doing? What is going on? Someone's going to shoot me, or somebody's going to attack me, or anything like that. Like, what are some of your thoughts in these hostile environments?
Yeah. So it's kind of like this. I can relate it. Maybe Isaiah, you're probably nervous before you get up and preach, right? So say you're going to a church, you're probably nervous, but then once you get up there and those first few words come out, the nervousness leaves. So it's the same way, man. Going out to these events, there's tons of nervousness, and the devil's really, you know, those temptations are flying, right? Jesus was tempted in the desert, but he didn't give in to the temptations. So Jesus had the thought, right? The devil's like, hey, why don't you throw yourself off of this? The angels are going to bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So that thought actually comes to Jesus, but he knows the truth. So he speaks the truth and he doesn't do it, right? So just because I feel like a lot of people, they get stopped in their tracks because of the temptation of fear, but then they give in to the temptation. They obey the fear. I like to say that. The Bible talks about a spirit of fear.
Wow.
But fear is something that we can obey. We're either going to obey
That's
God
so
or we're going to obey fear. You know, the Bible says you can't have two masters. You can't serve mammon and serve God. So in the same way, fear is many times a temptation from the devil. So we can either obey them, your slave to whom you obey. We can obey fear, the temptation, or we can obey God. I don't have an absence of nervousness when I'm about to. I don't have an absence of the temptation of fear. it's there, but I don't obey it. I push past it and I do what God sent me there to do. I just open my mouth and let the words go out. And honestly, when that happens, bro, just he takes over. Mm. Like I'm still yielding to him, right? I'm still like, I've got the mouth, but he's giving me the words to say. When Good. People are asking me questions, sometimes I'm getting asked a question and halfway through the question, I'm like, I have no idea the answer to this. God, help me. I mean, I'm relying upon him either way, but I'm like in those moments, I'm like, God, this has got to be you. And then at some point, it's just like, bloop. It's just like he drops it in and then boom, it comes out. Honestly, sometimes when I'm talking to people, I'm learning, bro. I'm like, just the Holy Spirit's flowing. And I'm like, wow, like I never knew that. Or like, wow, like that's really good, God. Like revelation is coming to my mind as I'm answering these people. You know, Jesus, he said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Yes. But in that hour, right, it's going to be the Spirit of my Father who's speaking in you. Don't even prepare beforehand what you're going to say. In the same way, man, that's what it is. The Holy Spirit is just speaking through me. I'm learning in the midst of the Holy Spirit flowing. But dude, there's such a supernatural compassion and peace, honestly, in those moments. When someone's screaming at me, and they're like worldly, right? They're unbelievers, they're lost, they're broken. I can feel a supernatural compassion in my heart. It doesn't affect me. I'm not getting frustrated. I'm not like at my edge of like, ooh, I'm about to snap and punch someone in the face, or I'm about to snap and pack up my gear. This isn't worth it and get out of here. It's like the more you scream at me, I just realize you're more broken. Like there's something down in your heart. You've been through some things. You got whatever it was. I don't want to say too many things, but someone in your family touched you the wrong way. Yeah. Something happened to you. Your parents are probably, there's some brokenness in your family, maybe divorce, maybe there's drugs, maybe there's alcohol, maybe you don't have a dad, maybe they left. There's like such brokenness in there. I'm not throwing out the sin. Yes, they've sinned, right? Yes, there's a punishment of sin. Yes, like all that. I'm not throwing that out and saying, hey, these are innocent people. But in the midst of their sin and their brokenness, God loves them. Like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says God demonstrates his love in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God demonstrated his love while we were still in our sin. I love you. He demonstrated it by Christ dying for us. So there's this supernatural compassion of God for these people. Now, when it does get frustrating, honestly, there are times where I do get frustrated and I start to feel an anger, but it's this righteous anger, I believe. And it's when the religious hypocrites come up.
Yeah.
When the religious hypocrites come
up. I'm a Christian. You're not supposed to be. This isn't what Jesus would do. I'm a believer and they're breathing on you and they're drunk and they're high and they have a blunt in their mouth. That's probably the worst, right? It's like the religious people.
There's like a lost person who claims to be a Christian and I know they're really not.
Yeah.
Right. But then there's like this snooty, I went to seminary. Oh, I'm a deacon, I'm a pastor, I'm a this. And they're like the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? Like technically all the people Jesus ministered to, not all of them, the majority of them were Jewish people, right? Mm-hmm. They're just lost and broken. So they were religious to an extent. But then there's like the Pharisees, the lawyers, the scribes, all these people who should know, right? And they're just really hard-hearted. So when those guys come up, like it's like the supernatural peace is like, it's not there. It's like this.
The righteous, the Jesus turning tables in the temple comes out.
Yeah, that comes out. That fruit of, I can't call it fruit of the Spirit. What would you call that?
It's like the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. So it's righteous anger. It's righteous frustration. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, bro, it's supernatural. Honestly, the same prophet who prophesied over me when I was about the whole rope around your neck thing, I talked to him not too long ago, and he was like, man, when you're there, he just watched like one video, and he said it's like a bubble of peace is around you, and he like gave language for what I felt. I was like, yeah. That's what it's like. It's like I'm in a bubble.
Do you have other street preachers, like we talk about, like the ones that have the signs, and they're just. I mean, they're just not doing it. There's a way to preach. And you do, like, when you're talking to people, you're like, hey, sin will send you to hell. You're preaching the way and the strong message. You're not sugarcoating it. You're not telling everybody that they're saved. You're not telling everybody that there's no wrath. Like, you are preaching the gospel and you are preaching about hell and the wrath of God, but you're doing it in a way of compassion and love. It's the same message, but you're delivering it in a different way. You're delivering it the way Jesus delivered it, right? It was love. It was compassion. People loved Jesus. They wanted to be around him. Thousands came and wanted to be around Jesus. I truly believe that Jesus was someone that people wanted to be around. He's someone that was loving, caring. He was eating with sinners, not partying with sinners. He was eating with sinners. They wanted to be around him, and he was preaching the gospel to them. Do you ever have times where the other guys that have the turn and burn, they're angry, they're mad, they're in a bad mood, they have signs? Do they ever come and talk to you, or do you ever have like a clash with other street preachers, or is that something you don't really encounter?
I see them around. I usually don't. No, we don't really clash, man. It's kind of amazing. Quick testimony, when we were at Lexington Pride this year, there were some guys.
What is Lexington Pride, for those that don't know? Is that like a big Pride festival? Or?
So, yeah. So Lexington is a city in Kentucky. Okay. It's one of our biggest cities, maybe the second biggest city in Kentucky. It's where the University of Kentucky is. Most people know that university. But anyway, so that city, this is their Pride event, which is one of the biggest Pride events in Kentucky.
Okay.
So we're there, and when we get there, there are some of those guys, you know, more of like a hellfire brimstone. Now, honestly, when it comes to those guys, I'm careful about what I said, which you said it earlier.
Yeah.
Like they're out there doing the work, so, yeah. You know. But at the same time, you know, the Bible says save some with fear, right?
Yes,
pulling them out of the fire, even hating the garments defiled by flesh. And then it's like save some by goodness. And it's more of like this love of God. So there are some people who are not going to be saved by the goodness. So
yeah.
I'm kind of careful about what I say about those guys, because
that's good.
You know, maybe in my ignorance, God has specifically called them to go out and save people with the fear.
Yeah.
The fear of God.
Listen, if you ever heard me preach, bro, I'm definitely a fire and brimstone preacher. I'm like preaching the judgment of God. So I love that you're saying that, because I want to make sure as well as I'm talking that I'm not using language of like these guys, the Lord's called them to do that. They're a certain part of the body. Maybe you don't feel that exact calling or that exact assignment. And there's a place for both. Someone just said in the chat, Melissa Clark, there's a place for both. So I apologize if I ever seem like I'm condemning that style. That's the style God's called them to. It's just not the same style. For me personally, if I'm on the street, that's not the style I feel. If I'm in the church, it's different, because I'm talking to believers and I'm calling believers that are saying they're Christian to a higher standard. But yeah, I feel like for me, I wouldn't go out on the street doing that style, but it doesn't mean that that's not what God's telling them to do, right? There's people that were preaching the style of John the Baptist. There's Jesus, there's Paul. Everybody had their own style. So yeah, I'm glad you're saying that, because I don't want to ever make it seem like we're condemning those guys. And I'm sure there's guys like that in the chat right now. And we definitely would never want to condemn what someone else is doing, especially from the comfort. Many of you that are criticizing, you're at the comfort of your own home. Like, you're criticizing street preachers, but you're on the couch criticizing them. So when you criticize, remember where you're at criticizing. If you're on the couch watching Netflix all day, you don't really have the luxury to criticize people that are out in the street preaching. So anyways, I want to throw that caveat in there, and then you go ahead, keep going. I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw that in there, because I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, that's good. And I didn't hear that coming out of you, so I'm not saying
good.
A way that you were saying that. But yeah. No, I've had the same stereotype, honestly, like, oh, I don't want to be those guys. They're doing it all wrong, which some of them are, right?
Yeah,
some of them are out there and they are doing it wrong, and they are preaching condemnation and like whatever. I've seen some people, or I've heard of stories of them like getting in fist fights, like punching people back and stuff.
Or the sign saying like, you're all whores, you're all going, like, that to me is wrong. Like, if you have a sign saying you're all whores, you're all homosexuals, and you're telling people that, I don't see Jesus doing that. But yeah, that's different. That's definitely wrong, but for sure, go for it.
Yeah. There's definitely some guys doing it wrong, right? But anywho, so we got there and there were some guys who were preaching that style, right? Whether they are called to do it or they were doing it the wrong way, I'm not the judge of that. I don't know their hearts. I don't know them well enough to say that. But it was like, you know, megaphone, those signs, highlighter shirts, all that stuff. I'm not going to judge them, but they were there and they were preaching like right outside the entrance. When we got there, I just went over and kind of talked to them for just a little bit. And just said, hey, you know, we're street preachers too, this and that. We, you know, we had a good conversation. And they asked me like, where, you know, where are you going to set up, this and that. And within the conversation, they just said, hey, like, you know what, you set up here and we're going to move down there. So literally coming in, I felt like it was the Lord orchestrating it, but the Lord just kind of bumped them down. Like, okay, you're going to move down here, and made room for us to come into that prime spot where tons of people, you know, that's the entrance where thousands of people are coming in and out of, it was like this convention center that they're holding the festival in. I can't remember the question that you asked me. But
yeah, no, we were just talking about meeting other street preachers. No, you definitely. You definitely hit it perfect. Now I want to ask you this, and then we'll pray for those in the chat, and we'll kind of come to a close. If somebody's brand new in the chat, there's a lot of people watching, a lot of young people watch, obviously. They're definitely interested. They watch your TikTok videos, they watch your Instagram videos, and they're brand new and they want to start not just street preaching. We can throw it all in one question, but let's say they just want to start sharing their faith, right? I know you do trainings at your church, and it's a brand new person. It's like, I've never shared my faith with anybody. I've never witnessed to anybody. I've never shared at the grocery store or at the restaurant or with friends or family. Like, give us the most basic advice you'd give to somebody that just wants to start sharing, whether it's street preaching. I think we overcomplicate it. We both know it's not as complicated as people have made it out to be. What would your advice be to somebody that's brand new in the chat that wants to start sharing their faith? They watch your videos like, man, I want that boldness and I want to start sharing my faith. What's some of the most practical advice you'd give them?
Yeah. First thing that is the most important and the must is you've got to get in the secret place daily. Yeah. You've got to be reading the word daily. You've got to be praying daily. You've got to be with the Lord in an attitude of thanksgiving, worship, praise on a daily basis. You've got to get to know Him. Mm. Like, how are we going to go out and represent Him and be an ambassadors of Him and tell people about Him if we don't even know Him, or Come we're on. Distant from Him, or we haven't talked with Him in an intimate way in 2 weeks? And we haven't been in the scriptures in, you know, whatever, 9 days. It's like, how are you going to go out and represent Him? Because you haven't even really been with Him. You might not even know Him that well yourself. So to just think I'm going to go out there with this religious duty and do it because I'm supposed to, you're going to fall all over yourself. And honestly, if you have sin in your life, the devil's going to jerk you around. I can't tell you how many times people are like, man, I want to go out and preach the gospel, and the devil's got a foothold on their life. They got a door open to the devil, and wow, they never come back. They just get jerked right out. So live a holy life, love God, right? Don't be friends with the world. It's at enmity with God. So I guess those are the first two things. Actually get with God. Don't do all that stuff I said out of a religious duty. Do it because you love Him, right? Do it because you desire to know Him, right? You're truly seeking His face. That would be number one. Honestly, just from that place, if you just did that, you know, Jesus told Mary and Martha, He said, one thing is needed. Mary had chosen that one thing. She was there sitting at His feet. Mary comes in, or Martha comes in. She's all busy. And she's like, Lord, don't you care? And boom, He said, this isn't going to be taken to her. One thing is necessary. So if I had to say one thing, that's what I would say, okay? That is the most important. It will overflow out of that place. But if we want to get practical, right? God has given people to equip the saints. So on a practical level beyond that, the secret place, really knowing Him, getting in the scriptures. Honestly, I'll say a few things. One, persecution is going to happen. It's going to happen. You're not going to get around it. People are going to mean mug you. People are going to treat you badly. People are going to reject what you're telling them. The devil's going to try to discourage you through it and make you feel like you can't do it, right? He's going to make you feel like you need to go to seminary. Oh, I'm not cut out for this. Oh, I'm just an intercessor. Oh, I'm already doing my part. I'm an usher at church. I serve on the worship team. That's my part in the body of Christ. This isn't for me. I'll leave that to other people. The devil's going to try to persecute you and do that, right? That's the parable of the sower. The stony, the rocky soil, it springs up immediately for joy. And then it says, when the persecution and the trials come, immediately it withers, right? So the devil wants us to stay inside the four walls and not to bear any true fruit. Many people are pew sitters. Many people go to church. They feel like they are a good Christian because they go to church and Jesus is not in any other part of their life, really. Maybe in their home, they're reading the Bible and praying, but when they're not actually doing the work of the ministry, right? They're not actually walking as Jesus walked. That's a very dangerous place to be. I would call that lukewarm, and those people are going to get spewed out of his mouth. That being said, where am I going? Help me, Lord.
Just starting out, sharing your faith, practical. You're talking about like the first steps to what does somebody want to do? They're going to receive persecution. You talked about live holy.
Yeah. That's it. Sure persecution.
You're going to be persecuted.
Sorry. Yeah. That's it. So just expect it. Here's a verse that really helped me. I'm going to try to summarize this for you because I've been talking way too much.
No, you're doing
good. First Peter 4:14. Okay. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Blessed are those who are reproached for my name's sake. Let me just pull it up really quick.
No worries. You're good.
1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified.
That's good.
This verse changed my life. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. So if you're representing Jesus and reproach comes, it's a confirmation to you that the spirit of glory and God rests upon you. It's now become a positive thing, right? If you've ever doubted, I'm not saying doubt is good, but if you're getting reproached, you know, hey, the Holy Spirit's here and he's shining. The spirit of glory is upon me. The Holy Spirit is on me. He's shining. This is a good sign, right? The darkness, if the darkness hates you, if demons don't like you, this is a good sign. It's revealing to you that, hey, the Holy Spirit is shining through you. You're on to something. So what that does in your mind, right? We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What that does in your mind is the next time someone reproaches you, you're not thinking, oh, no, I said something wrong. Oh, no, maybe I wasn't led to that person. I wasn't following the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm really bad at this. Oh, I need to read the Bible more. Oh, you know, you're not in this discouraged place. But now when you get reproached, now it's a positive thing. Hey, hold up a second. The Holy Spirit is shining through me. Look at this next part. So important. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. When you're being reproached for the name of Christ, God is being glorified on your part.
Good.
He is being glorified. So now reproach is a positive thing. Reproach is now actually an encouragement. The devil wants it to be a discouragement. This verse, the truth, set your mind free. Now, when you're being reproached, Holy Spirit's on you, he's shining, and God is being glorified in the moment. Now I can be encouraged, even in the midst of persecution and reproach. Okay, that's one point. I'll wrap that up with, I also have a tool. We just finished making it. It's on our website, nicholsbowling.com. It's free. I'm not trying to get money from you. If you go to our resources tab and click on Gospel Hand Tool, nicholsbowling.com, resources, Gospel Hand Tool, then you'll see a tool that we just finished up. I think we're still working on the PDF version, getting that uploaded. We're going to make a PNG version. But anyways, it's a couple questions you can use to identify whether or not someone's saved. That's the first thing you need to know. When you're witnessing to someone, is this person saved or not? Is this person born again or not? Do I need to go in depth into the gospel and explain it to them? Or are they a believer that I just need to encourage and pray for? Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to give them a gift, right? Spiritual gift, something like that. You need to find out, is this person saved or not? Once you know that they're not saved, here comes the gospel. I have a really, it's called the Gospel Hand Tool. It's a really, really simple five-step thing where you can preach the gospel and lead someone straight to the Lord right there. And then I've even put a prayer down below that. I know some people get all against salvation prayers. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So the way that they are saved, it's a confession that they make while also believing in their heart. So why would we not want to lead them in a confession of that very thing? So I've got a prayer down there. Now listen, this isn't the only way to do it. It's not the ABC 123 method. This is just simply a tool that can get you started in a very simple way. I would recommend if you want to stand in front of one and just read it, go for it. I have a lady that goes out with us weekly, and she started out with a script, walking up to people, saying hi, and then reading the script. Mm-hmm. Tons of people got born again. Tons of people got saved. She's not even looking. She's not going like, you know how ethics of reading like a you know, she's just like straight up not looking them in the eye, just walking them all the way through this thing, flips it over. Tons of people got born again. There's no shame in that, right? That's better than not doing anything.
That's good.
That should just be a tool where we grow past it, right? Where we start to allow the Holy Spirit, even the uniqueness that He made us in, to add a little bit of us, right? The uniqueness into how we're talking to people, conversating to people. So this is just a tool that I believe is really going to be helpful to the body of Christ. All glory to Him. I didn't come up with it.
So good.
It's Him. So if I was to summarize all that, secret place, including prayer, worship, and the Word. Okay, that's number one, the most important. The next thing, you're going to get persecuted. Don't get blindsided. It's going to happen. Be encouraged when you're persecuted. Jesus was persecuted. It reveals He's inside of you, and God is being glorified through you being persecuted. Mm. And the other thing is, I've got a really simple practical tool that you can find, and it can be really helpful for you to go out. And I'm going to wrap it up with this: love people. Okay, that is the most important thing that you're going to do out there is love people. Love covers a multitude of sins, and that's where all the fear leaves. All the fear, the intimidation, the temptations of the devil, all that stuff. When you set your heart to just love them, if you're focused on not messing up when I'm talking about the scripture, if you're focused on not being awkward, right? If you're focused on yourself, it's not going to work out real well. Just look the person in the eye with the motive, okay, regardless of what happens, if I stumble over my words, whatever, I'm going to look this person in the eye and I'm going to love them. You'll be amazed at what God will do through just that. And if you can't go up and just lead someone to the Lord, just go up and say, hey, Jesus loves you, and then walk away.
Start out small. Man, I'm fired up. I love all the stuff you're sharing. It's so good. Would you mind, before we close it out, just to say a prayer over those in the chat, and then we'll talk about where to connect with your ministry. But just say a prayer for those in the chat that want that boldness. They want that passion. They want that fire. I'm just going to say, some of you need to just do it. You've been waiting around for years. You've been praying for years for confirmation. One thing you don't need confirmation for is whether you should go share your faith. The Bible says we are all to do the work of an evangelist. So every single one of us are called to share our faith with friends, with family, with coworkers, with the people around you. There's enough people around you where you don't need to go stand on a table somewhere and preach. There's enough people around you to share with to start that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear the truth. And a lot of us, guys, let's be honest, we've been in church 20, 30 years. We've heard enough of the gospel to save all of a continent, all of a whole nation. And we still haven't shared with anybody. So let's get out of the whole mindset of, I need more word, more word. Let's get away from the input and get into the output and say, I don't just want to hear the word. I want to do the word and I want to preach the word. But why don't you say a prayer for us, Nicholas, if you don't mind, just before we exit out of here.
Yeah, for sure. Father, I thank you for each and every person who has joined tonight. God, all those who are here, whether they're believers or unbelievers, God, I pray that those who are unbelievers, that they would have got a glimpse from you tonight. Lord, that you would even manifest yourself to them, reveal yourself to them. Lord, the seeds that were planted, the seeds that were watered, God, we pray that you would give them increase right now, and that many people who are going to see this and watch this after it's not live anymore, God, that you would draw hearts to you. God, I pray for the lukewarm Christians that are out there who have been sitting in the church for 20 or 30 years, haven't even shared their faith with one person, God. Those who feel like they are fulfilling the fullness of your will just by going to church. God, I pray that they would be awakened, that they would arise and awaken to righteousness, God, that they would have hearts after your own heart, God, that they would be like David, men after your own heart, that they would have a faith that doesn't fail, even as you, Jesus, prayed for Peter, pray that his faith would not fail him. God, I pray that because of the persecution, the reproach of men, people's even saying, oh, you are a Jesus freak, or even relating them to Jesus, as even the little girl was talking to Peter around the fire and saying, oh, hey, aren't you that guy that was with Jesus? And he's starting to deny it and get ashamed. Father, I pray that you'd break shame off of the church. God, I pray that you'd break self-centeredness and self-focus. And even this whole kind of Western American, just this self-centered, prideful lifestyle, the pride of life. God, I pray that you would break it off of the church and that we would truly arise. I even see like chains breaking off of the bride, of a bride in a white dress. I see chains that have been like holding her down, even beginning to break. She's beginning to break out of those chains and beginning to rise up and beginning to even shine, even in darkness all around her. And even in America, it seems like that. It seems like there is such darkness in this nation, but God is bringing a change to that. And God, we thank you for it, that the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, is beginning to awaken. It's beginning to arise. It's breaking out of the chains of bondage. And God, we even decree over each and every person watching, Lord, that they are those who will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. As they're faithful with the little, you're going to entrust them with more. God, we thank you for awakening the bride. Everyone who's lukewarm, God, I pray that you would help us to keep those gifts ablaze, the gift that you placed within us, that we'd keep it ablaze.
Oh no, we lost him. I think his camera died. Oh, there he goes. He's back.
There we go.
Yeah, you're back. Awesome. You were saying keep the bride ablaze. You were praying for the fire.
Yeah. Keep the bride ablaze in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for anyone who even is bound, even as we're praying on that, God, people who are bound by unclean spirits, by spirits of fear, people who are bound in spirits of addiction, Lord, even what we talked about tonight, maybe it's adultery, fear and anxiety, even depression. Just people who are bound by the enemy, we command every unclean spirit to go now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work right now, driving out every unclean spirit, every tormenting spirit. Some of you've been lied to, or the enemy's telling you you're not worth anything, you're never going to amount to anything. Identities that your coaches, identities that those who scolded you and rebuked you in a worldly way, and you've been trapped in that identity, God is breaking that off of you even now. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. It's many of it is familiar spirits that have been like over top of your family members. They've been working through your alcoholic fathers, and they're trying to like keep you in fear, like almost over top of you. That's what I see, almost like over top of you, just trying to keep you down and scolded and like peevish and scared and small, and I can't do anything for God. I command those unclean spirits to go now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for a spirit of boldness to rise up. Lord, even as you filled people with the Spirit in Acts chapter 4, it says they boldness. They had prayed for boldness. You filled them with the Spirit, shook the place that they were in, and they began to go out and preach the word everywhere. So God, I thank you for that happening right now. We pray for that people would be filled with the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Just receive that right now.
Yes.
Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before, just receive afresh and anew to overflowing. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, be filled right now with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, if you feel the Holy Spirit, praise wanting to come out, magnifying Him wanting to come out, a different language wanting to come out, whatever it is, just begin to praise Him, magnify Him, allow Him to speak through you. God, we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you. You're calling people to be prophets tonight, prophets to this nation, prophets like Jeremiah, God, who are not going to keep their voice silent. God, I thank you for raising up prophets like Jeremiah, who are going to stand up in the midst of many people around them who are not going to agree. They're not going to like it. But Lord, you're going to bring such transformation. There's going to be so many people that are doing that. It's not going to be able to be stopped. If there's just one person who's doing it, many times the religious leaders in the churches, they can try to silence it, but I see it happening all over. Come even on. The Lord using internet and social media. Isaiah, you're one of those people. He's using people on the internet. He's raising them up so that people who have been stuck in the four walls of the church under the thumb and the finger of control and manipulation and religion, God is bringing people up all over to begin to shine even as a beacon of light so that other people will rise up out of those places. And he's raising up an end time army. I'm telling you right now, God is raising up an end time army. And if you're watching this video right now, God's calling you to be a part of that. This isn't a coincidence that you are watching this video tonight, but God is specifically choosing you. He's specifically calling you. You're someone who, like Moses with the bush, has looked at the bush. You took the time to stop and look at the bush, and you're now looking at those beacons that God is raising up. And keep your eyes there, because God is going to make an example for others to follow, and you're going to be people that he's going to raise up to where America has been such a bad influence on the world. America is going to become like a hub. I'll use the word revival as a hub for other nations of the world to see. And it's going to be, I see rejoicing rising up, even all over the world, rejoicing. Even many people might not like this, but like a God prospering people, providing even for missionaries. Many missionaries have been in lack because people have been greedy and have not given when God spoke to them to give. I see finances coming into missionaries all over the world, people having no lack, people having exactly what they need to get the literature out that they need to get the Bibles out that they need to take care of the orphans, to take care of the widows, to have the teams that they need to have to finish the work that God has sent them out to in the world. God, we thank you for all that you're speaking, all that you're doing, even right now. And Lord, we thank you that it's all by your Spirit. We give you all the glory, the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' name. Isaiah, you got anything to add to that?
Yes. No, man, you covered it. Amazing. Thank you, Lord. I just see the same thing you see. God's raising up people that are going to be bold and proclaim the gospel. And as you said, like, there's nourishment by doing the will of God. Jesus said, I have food you know nothing about. Like, aren't you hungry, Jesus? He's like, no, my food is doing the will of God. There are some of you in the chat spiritually starving because you're not doing what God's called you to do. And when you step out and start doing this with boldness, the Lord's going to give you the words. The Lord's going to fill your mouth. You're going to be able to share with clarity and boldness and authority. You just got to open your mouth, step out, and let the Lord use you. God wants to use you. How amazing is that? God wants to use you to get the gospel out. So be an ambassador of Christ. Let the Lord use you. It's going to be amazing. Once you do, what you'll realize, guys, is when you minister to people, you get ministered to and refilled more than you even pour out. The Lord's going to refill you and encourage you as you do that. If people want to follow your ministry, Nicholas, where can they find you? Where can they follow? Do you have like a website they can go to, or what's the best place to link up with you? And I have your YouTube channel in the description as well. So all of you, make sure that you go subscribe if you're not already.
Okay, yeah. Well, click the link down in the description. Check out our YouTube channel. Follow us there. Subscribe there. We're going to have some other links there on YouTube that you can click as well. NicholasBowling.com. You can find all of our stuff there as well.
That's awesome. And then the shirt you're wearing, where can they get the shirt? I'm asking these questions. I've done this enough times to where I already know the chat's going to ask right when I get you off. They're going to say, where is that shirt at he's wearing? Is that his shirt? So is that a shirt that they can get on your website, or how do they get one of those shirts? Where's that from?
Yeah, just go to our website, NicholasBowling.com. You'll probably see, well, you can see the name up here on the screen right here. NicholasBowling.com. Hit the store tab, and then that's going to take you to the shirts.
Awesome. And what does it say, repent and believe? The mic's
coming.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Repent and believe.
Here, I'll just do it.
There you go. I like that. And guys, again, that's a great conversation starter. That's a great conversation starter, wearing the clothing. It's like people ask about it, right? And it helps support the ministry. I'm sure you guys are all aware, ain't nobody paying you to street preach. You're right. He's going to these pride festivals. Nobody's giving him an honorarium. Amen. Nobody's giving him a love offering. He's getting spit at and water thrown at him. So yeah, support the ministry, support what he's doing. Thank you, bro, for coming on. Love to have you on again. And I'm gonna stay on and just take up a little offering for you. But thank you so much for being on tonight.
Hey, man. Thanks, bro. Glad to be here. Thank you,
God. We'll talk soon. God bless. All right, guys. I want to take the time to sow into his ministry. As I just said, he's a missionary, supported by the viewers. There's no honorarium, no love offering when you're preaching on the street. So let's support what he's doing. I've already made the decision right when I started this that I'm going to support these ministers, these missionaries. He's really a missionary to America. These evangelists God is raising up. So grateful for how God is using him. And I would love to go street preaching with him. I think that'd be awesome. I believe that'd be awesome. Somebody said Nicholas's shirt, Cleveland street preacher said Nicholas's shirt has evangelized more people than most Christians. Hey, Cleveland Street Preachers. You are not wrong. The shirts are a great way to share with people as well. And I hope some of you get encouraged by this and decide that you want to go out and street preach and share your faith. I'm definitely going to be posting, I need to do this, some street evangelism, some sharing my faith videos, blog, I guess, style or whatever style that they're doing, and then street preaching. I would love to do that with him as well. I think, yeah, he's going out to these events and street preaching. Listen, where I live, I don't know where anybody's gathering. Ain't nobody outside. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody's on Instagram. No one's out on the streets anywhere. But I would definitely love to go to one of these events where he's going, these festivals and street preaching. I think that'd be amazing and would just be powerful to do. So I definitely want to get involved and start doing some of that as well. Let's sow into him. So whatever you sow in tonight to our ministry, we will be sending towards him. Whatever comes in is going to be going towards him. So you can give on my website. You can give on my Venmo, PayPal, Zelle. All the content we do is free. All the YouTube videos are free. The live streams have no ads or anything like that. So yeah, go ahead and sow in, and I'll send him a love offering as well. He's viewer supported. I'm viewer supported. We're just doing this by faith and the Lord's providing. If you can't afford it, don't. We're not beggars. We're believers. There's no twisting your arm. Don't give out of compulsion. As Paul said, he's like, give cheerfully. Don't give because somebody twists your arm. So I'm not twisting your arm to give tonight. If that's you, just don't give. If you have like $5 in your bank account, don't give. Okay, unless the Lord tells you to, but if you could afford it, so there's many of you that can. It is what it is, all right? We're not going to beg you. Also, pray about becoming a monthly partner this year. Helps us out a lot. It is what it is, guys. The Lord's going to provide. The Lord's going to provide. I can't tell you how many times when I used to be a traveling preacher full-time where I would go somewhere and the honorarium or the love offering was not even near enough to pay my bill or my rent or my light bills or anything, and the Lord would provide. There was one story where I was in Virginia. I'll never get this. I was in Virginia Beach. I was behind. My bank account was in the negative. I'm a traveling preacher. Think about this. My bank account's in the negative. I'm behind on my bills, all of that. And I'm like, this honorarium from this church is going to carry me. Well, I opened the envelope and the amount that the church gave me to preach, which I don't want to say because the people from that church are probably watching. But let's just say it wasn't enough to cover any of my bills. Let's just say that, right? And I'm gone away from my family for 5 days. And this is my only income. I've never been on a salary at a church, none of that. I've always just been wherever the Lord provides, the Lord provides. And I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to make ends meet. My bank account's in the negative. I don't even have money for rent. And I'm out here traveling and preaching. Some lady, the pastor gives me the check and I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to start driving Uber or something. And then a lady hands the pastor a check and says, I just sold a property. I want to give this to Isaiah's ministry. So I'm like stressed out. I'm like, all right, Lord, you're going to provide. I needed a specific amount of money to make it through the next month. And this lady gave this check from a property she sold. It was the exact amount of money that I needed to keep going on that she gave to the pastor. And the amount she gave was like 5 times more than what the church gave me as a love offering, or you call it honorarium, love offering, whatever. So yeah, the Lord provides. I can name story after story after story of the Lord providing when I didn't have the finances, when I didn't have the income, when I was behind, when my bank account was in the negative, when my mother and father-in-law were lending me money. Shout out to my mother and father-in-law. Thank you. It was just bad sometimes, right? So it's like we're by faith, but then the Lord would provide over and over. Never, never, ever have I ever gone without food, without a place to stay. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. We're begging for bread. God's always provided in the nick of time. I can name 10 more of those stories where I'm just like, I got a random check from a church that didn't pay me for months. And exactly how much to the dollar that I needed. There was one time where, I'll share this last story as you guys are giving, building your faith up here, where this big time minister was like, I want you guys to sow monthly. I did not have money. I was working at Starbucks, y'all. I was making like $300 every month, or I was making like $600 a month. So I don't know, what is it, like $150 a week? When I opened my wallet, moths would fly out. That's how broke I was. And this big time pastor who had lots of money was like, sow monthly. And I'm like, I ain't sowing monthly. I don't even have enough money. I'm working at Starbucks. I barely got saved. And the Lord's like, sow $100 a month. And I'm like, I don't have $100 a month. And the Lord's like, sow $100 a month. And so I'm like, okay. And the pastor literally said something along the lines of, and this was many years ago, this is like, you know, 12 years ago, but he said something like, God's going to 10 times whatever you give, something like that, something generic. I'm like, all right, whatever. I put that $100 in there and I said, I'll give $100 a month that I do not have to this pastor. The next day, this is right when I started the ministry, some guy was like, the Lord told me to give $1,000 a month to your ministry for the rest of my life. That's what he told me. I gave $100 a month. Some random rich guy says, said he was going to give me $1,000 a month, and I was just starting out. No one even knew about me. I didn't have no social media, and this random guy who found out about me through another pastor was giving $1,000 a month. Now, he didn't give $1,000 a month for the rest of his life, but he gave $1,000 a month for, like, I want to say close to a year, maybe 2 years. He was one of the reasons why I was able to go full-time in ministry. So, yeah, the Lord does it. Be obedient. The Lord does it, right? The Lord does it. Isaiah, I'm the guy that God used to inspire Apollo. That's awesome, bro. I'll have to check out your channel, Cleveland Street Preachers. I will check out your channel tonight. Thanks for being in here, bro. And I look forward to seeing your stuff. So I'll check out your channel tonight. You inspired Apollo. That's awesome, bro. Love that. Love that. Yeah, we need to support the street preachers. Listen, they're doing the work. Those of you that criticize, remember, you're criticizing from your couch. All right? You're criticizing from your couch. That's why, like, I'm not going to criticize nobody. I'm not out. The Lord's called me to do what I'm doing on social media, to train the church and to travel to some of these churches and preach. But hey, if the Lord calls me to start street preaching tomorrow, I will. That's not my specific part of the body right now, but who's to say it won't be in the future? Everybody has their own part. That's why the disciples, like, they were saying, you need to feed the homeless. And the disciples are like, no, that's not our job. We're going to pray. We're going to read. Let's assign people for that, because there's different parts of the body. Some guys are called to street preach. If you could afford to partner with these guys, partner with them. Sow into them. Support what they're doing. Again, they're not getting paid to do that. No one's paying you to street preach. So Cleveland Street Preachers is an amazing street preacher and evangelist teaching channel. Okay, cool. I'll check it out, Evan. That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Love that. All right. Great show tonight, guys. Again, pray about partnering monthly. We will be live on Thursday at noon, and then we will be preaching this Sunday, 5 services. Pray for me, please. I'm preaching in Stockton, California, 5 services, 8:15, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2 p.m. Life Song Church in Stockton, California. We're expecting over 2,000 people to show up. It's going to be amazing. It's going to just get there early. If you want parking, if you know, you got to get there early. If you want parking, it's going to be packed. It's going to be packed. So please show up this Sunday and support me. I'll post a flyer tomorrow. The info's on my website, zsl.com/schedule. Jared and Candace, oh, they're already live. Jared and Candace are live tonight with worship. So we're going to be ending here in just a minute and going to Jared and Candace's channel for worship and prayer. But thank you guys for sticking around tonight. It's been amazing. 5 services this Sunday, live on Thursday. And then I'll probably next week post my announcement video talking about the future of this channel. I'm just going to be vulnerable with you guys where I'm at with social media and online. I think TikTok's getting banned. On the 19th? I have a big TikTok right now. I have 470,000 followers on TikTok. So that's getting deleted. And the reason why I'm smiling is I just don't care. I don't care. All right. I've been banned on TikTok a million times. Every time I make a video, they shadow ban me. I've constantly banned. So I just don't care. I appreciate all those that found me on TikTok. I mean, it is kind of sad that I have 500,000 followers there and I'm going to lose all of those people, but they'll come to YouTube. They'll come to Facebook. It is what it is. It is what it is. All right. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting. Again, whatever comes in, I'll be sending it tonight to Nicholas. I almost said Lucas. I have a good friend I play pickleball with named Lucas that I was with today. Nicholas, I will be sending him tonight for all of you. Is my nose still swollen? Yes, it is. On this side. On this side, it's swollen. Well, you can't see unless I look straight. But yeah, it's swollen still. You guys don't know I got hit in the face with the pickleball a couple days ago. So my nose is still swollen. If Venmo asks for the last 4, you can still give. Just put give without confirming or get. Yeah, there's a button down there when it asks for your number to just continue with giving. You don't have to have the number. It's just an option there that they want, but you don't have to do it. You can just put give without. Somebody else said preaching on the streets in New York City. That's awesome. I'll check you out as well. Revival Center, New York City. I'll check you out too. I'll check out all these people that are street preachers. That's awesome. That's awesome. You listen, you're never, I know people say, try to say bad things about street preachers. I will never, ever. I'm not that guy. I support people that are out there doing the work of God. One thing I highly value in people is when they're out doing the work. And so when people are out doing the work, who are we to criticize? Who are we to criticize? Yeah. So yeah, TikTok is getting banned. If you want to see me get hit the face with a pickleball, go on TikTok. I'm not TikTok. Sorry. Go on Instagram. And all that. Okay? I will see you guys on Thursday at noon. Go to Jared and Candace's channel here. I'll post the link. This is where we're going. If you're on Facebook, here's the link. And I will see you guys very soon. Thank you guys. Tonight was amazing. Thank you for giving, partnering, and doing all that good stuff and the donations and monthly. I'll send the email out for all you monthly partners. Love you guys. Thank you so much. And I'll see you guys soon. God bless. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.